This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a free bet of up to $500. Terms and conditions do apply, so get the details at WynnBET.com and download the app today. And we're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is your home for the free daily video picks from the SGPN crew. It's like YouTube for sports gambling. Make sure to subscribe to our profile at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. And we're also brought to you by PicksWise. PicksWise has free picks every day for every sport. Check out all their expert plays and betting news at PicksWise.com. That's PicksWise.com. All right, welcome back, you D-gens. It's Boston Capper, got a golf himself, Steve Shermer, for a Masters recap and the Heritage preview. I'm not very happy or excited, but maybe Steve can make you guys happy. I'm not quite sure. I'm pretty down.
This is going to be, I think, a therapy session for Boston Capper today. I mean, we had plenty of conversations offline. I mean, most of them come in our Slack channel where you can see us. I mean, we fought a couple times, I think. Like, we were sniping each other today a little bit. I mean, we were definitely that married couple. But offline in our text chain, oh, man, there were some salty, salty exchanges. And I mean, honestly, if you look back at everything we talked about and everything we, like, a lot of bets we said pre-tournament, how we thought this tournament would go, we did okay.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, maybe we got a little ahead of our skis in live betting, but I don't think really what happened, how this thing shaped up, is a big surprise. And we're going to talk about it tonight, and I think, yeah, there's some things we missed, but there's a lot of positive takes out of this thing, and there's definitely some lessons that we need to take and remember for next year, that when we look back and from last April, and I listened to all our podcasts, I listened to all the columns we wrote, and then because that's what golf gambling is. It's a continuation of learning.
Yeah.
Learning from mistakes, learning from things as it went well too, and applying in the future. So
I just don't understand how I did so good in matchups. I did so good in matchups.
You and me both. We killed it on matchups this week.
Killed matchups.
Yeah.
I hit some random fucking top 20s, top 50.
By the way, and all the all the people that say, oh, he didn't have his strokes gained stats, he can't do it. Well, yeah, I fucking killed matchups. Thank you, assholes.
That's right. Who said that? Who said that?
Probably me.
I was like, wait, who attacked you? I was
like, no idea. Probably my own insecurities just manifesting right there.
I like it. See, now we even have more in common. I love that even more. Yes. I love that your inner self yells at yourself. I love that.
Exactly.
I just don't know how I did so good. And then I have no fucking discipline, Steve. I have none. I have zero. I just lie. I literally turned to Tommy yesterday and I was like, man, I was like, you know what I don't take advantage of enough of? Live betting. That's what I said yesterday.
That's your first mistake right there.
Yesterday. Yeah. I don't take advantage of live betting enough. Guess what I did today? I took advantage of it. Did you think it worked out in my favor? Fuck no. Good Lord, man. Like, dude, I've been tilted since about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
It's about 9 now, so it's about 6 hours of tilted capper.
All right. Well, I mean, you're heated right now. Do you want to get the guys you want to bury out of the way and put on a boat? Or
yeah,
do you
want to? Finau can get fired in the goddamn sun. Like, what the fuck was that? What was that today? Like, his score shouldn't even as good as it was. He hit it out of the bunker, and it somehow squirted. And he, Finau can go fuck himself.
Hey, by the way, Tony, thank you for the top 10. I appreciate it.
No, fuck him. And look, and Xander's not my guy, right? But if you're a Xander backer, don't you want Xander in the fucking ice chest again? Just a fucking, like, limp dick performance, like, on a Sunday. Like, everybody knew what was going to happen. That's why I said yesterday. I was like, zero chance. I'm betting him. Zero chance. 0.0. I know what he's going to do. And he did it. That's what he does. That's what he does. And what I say, fucking Rahm's going to backdoor into a top 10. Did I bet him under his fucking 70.5 strokes? No. But he shot at -6 today with no goddamn pressure. No pressure. Way to show up, Rahm. You look great. Next year, I'll fucking forget, and I'll bet you again, and you'll just end up backdooring another fucking top 10.
No, I'm not going to let you forget about that with Rahm. I mean, you know, we'll cover him.
I just said it. I knew what he was going to do.
Let's save Rom and all those guys for the DFS. Let's start with Hideki.
Okay.
Props to Hideki.
You're right.
Let's take gambling out of this, by the way.
Yeah.
This is a guy I have bet so many times, and you and me both.
Yes.
I remember when we first started bantering back and forth, you're like, oh, why the hell are you betting Hideki? He sucks.
No.
Like, I think this is when I was still on Twitter, and I think you were tweeting at me with this stuff.
Yes, that sounds
good. And but if we go back to 2017, he was so good. That 2017 season he had, he won, I think, Tournament of Champions. He won Phoenix, won the WGC Bridgestone.
Yep.
I had a 50-1 on him to win at Quail. I was feeling awesome. And then JT put him in a body bag.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been the same since. He had a wrist injury. Like, he just, it seemed like that loss at the PGA in 2017 just rocked him. And I'm kind of mad at myself that, and we'll talk about this in lessons learned in a little bit, but like, kind of mad at myself because I sniffed this out last week from Valero. I got an inkling that maybe this is about the time we get on Hideki.
Mm-hmm.
And he got the first round lead or close to first round lead. I'm like, man, I was right.
Yeah.
And I was wrong. And then you taunted me. And I felt bad about myself. And my inner critic said, oh, what the hell are you going to do? Wait, that Hideki again? and there's some things with Hideki that were trends.
There's so much scar tissue, though. You know what I mean? Like, dude, I swore, like, your New Year's resolution was to be more about grass. Mine was I can't bet Hideki anymore.
Okay.
Those were our New Year's resolutions. Right, there's so much scar tissue built up.
All right, let's rewind to what we talked about, what we wanted in a Masters winner this year, right? Right. We said it was going to be about your irons and scrambling. Yeah. Hideki's irons were great, and he led the field in fucking scrambling. Yeah. And he came in with those are the only two positives.
Because he didn't hit a fucking fairway. Dude, he hit four fairways on Saturday, five.
I know, but we said this was not going to be a driving show.
I know.
Irons are scrambling. There's good. What Masters was this for him, by the way? Do you know? It was his 10th. Remember around that little level there, 9-10?
9-10, yeah.
Yeah, why didn't we pick that out?
First of all, how Hideki was it that he missed that last putt? Like, that was so perfect for me. I was like, you missed it. That's perfect. Put it in the hole.
What's funny is I think there were props out there about what the how long the winning putt would be. I think it was 3.5 feet. So it came down to that. You're like, exactly. I think he's got a 5-footer. You're going to make this or not?
Nope. He's not. He missed it. And I like it was just me, my wife, and my boy Pete and his wife. And I watched him miss it. I just started laughing. And no one else in the fucking whole place was watching it except for me and Pete. And I'm just laughing my ass off. People are like, what the fuck is wrong with that guy? And I'm just laughing.
Because he had me on like Zoom or something. Because I'd be laughing with you, too.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
But, I mean, listen, the fact that Hideki won the Masters, that's
I'm
great.
I'm super happy for that dude, man.
I am, too. I didn't have a bet on him. I mean, we'll talk about some lessons learned later. But props to him. So,
yeah, absolutely. Right. Listen, what a performance on Saturday, by the way. Unconscious. Like, unconscious. Like, that
I mean,
was
that back nine is a polar opposite of what we saw in this back nine today.
Right. But hey,
I mean, that was a little bit too aggressive on 15.
Just a tad. But listen, man, I mean, what he did on that back nine on Saturday positioned him to be able to play how he did on Sunday. So, like.
Exactly.
Like, whatever, man. Like, he would have played it different if he didn't have a fucking 5-stroke lead and everybody behind him wasn't fucking choking and just spitting all up over themselves. Nobody could make a fucking birdie to save their goddamn life, put any pressure on. Anytime Xander got even close, he just shat all over himself. Like, it was a joke. And Will Z, full disclosure, live betting problems. Yeah, I was like, oh, fuck it. Like, let me throw a little bit on him, too. Let's see what happens. And then he immediately bogeyed. I was like, yep, let's just light that fucking money on fire, too. Like, and I knew better. As I'm placing the bet, I'm like, this is a stupid fucking bet. But you never know.
Should all these live bets go to like my phone now? And I have to like, do we have to have like double?
Yeah, like the two key system for the nuclear.
Yeah, like a nuclear like warhead. Maybe
yeah,
we should do that.
Yeah,
for all the stupid bets that we make during the weekend.
Damn, man.
All right, do you want to talk about Zalatoris real quick?
Yeah, man. What a great kid, man. The kid's got stud. Yes, absolutely.
Dude, you have to hose me down every time they show a pro tracer of his drives. There were two on Saturday, just like back-to-back on one drive, just hits a perfect high draw, 315 yards down the middle. Next hole, perfect high fade 315 down the middle. That dude is fucking awesome.
And he's 110 pounds.
Yeah, and like the club head speed he generates, like, kids, listen, you don't have to go lift a bunch of weights like Bryson or get club head speed. You just whip your pencil arms around and
I hope
hit the ball in the middle of the club face, you're good.
Which I use. I hope there's no kids listening based on the language I use. I hope there's no kids listening to this podcast.
All right, well, you know, regardless. I mean,
although a degenerate dad might be listening to this in the car on the way to school.
All right, well, I apologize. I just dropped the F on that, but he's fucking great. So, there's not enough praise I can give this kid. I mean, unfortunately, the sad thing is Will Zalatoris was like a top 20 gravy train for like 3 months. Because the books always put him like, all right, plus 250, plus 300. I just bet that almost every tournament. Just it was a cash cow. I got low debutante like with him. I didn't bet the top 20 because I didn't like the odds. But I was like, all right, low debutante plus 125. That's fine for me. Cash that. Yeah, the days of that is gone. He's going to be like 20 to 1 every tournament now.
Yeah, what's so weird is like, I feel like the books do like, I don't know, like listen to like this industry, like the golf betting industry. And like, I mean, they have to, like, but they never really hang the odds correctly. Like, everybody knows Will Z is good. Everybody, like that stupid year-long fucking fantasy thing we're on, he's on every single roster. Will Z is on every single person's roster because, you know what I mean? Like, everybody knows he's good. And he was a free square for a long time. And he's no longer a free square.
Like, no, he isn't. But you know what? I'm glad he broke out. That was a great performance. And he, honestly, of all the guys in my seven, he was the only one that actually showed up today.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
He was the most impressive. He was
great. Bunch of bounce back birdies, like when he put himself in bad spots. Like, dude, like, yeah, dude. Like, he was he was stones, dude. He's got stones.
Yeah, even on Saturday when he put himself in the bunker on one and then hit the lip and he still got up and down from like 100 yards, like that kid's legit.
Yeah,
he's a future. Absolutely. He's going to win a lot on tour. Hopefully he wins before August so he doesn't have to go to Corn Ferry school to get his car.
Corn Ferry.
He's going to have to. If he
can you imagine what he's going to do to the Corn Ferry kids? Get out of here.
I know, but that's stupid, though. How stupid is that? I know it's
stupid. Listen, golf is stupid. Did you see the answer thing over the weekend? Like, it's the same fucking shit. Like, this, like, I don't want to talk about it.
Probably time for my public statement on Xander.
Yes, please.
We are currently, and I'm talking about Steve Shermer Incorporated, we are currently doing a performance evaluation about Xander. And while we still have confidence that he is a solid player, that he can continue in the future, we might have to scale back a little bit about how deep we want to go on Xander. Because what I saw today was, and let's forget 16. Let's not even go there. That's some of the worst golf I've seen from holes 3 to 5. The worst course mismanagement, the worst just sloppy errors. Like I don't know what was going on today. It seemed like maybe he was misclubbing a little bit. Like he dumped it short in the bunker on 4. I mean his bunker play was awful today. And then on 16. I watched that video a couple times because thanks to the Masters, you know, we can watch every shot. And I was trying to see because he was debating between clubs. He was between clubs.
Yeah,
he definitely was. He was going back. He pulled one. They put it back. He pulled the other. And I was trying to see, like, did he miss hit it? He didn't miss hit it. I mean, the divot was right in front. He picked the wrong club. And that just. It just a comedy of errors of course mismanagement today. That was really frustrating. And not just because I had him 28 to 1 to win. And Hideki just gift wrapped him like all the momentum in the world.
All the momentum.
And then as soon as he put it into the pond on 16, first thought in my head was, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right, Boston Capper. Yeah. That was epically flaccid.
It is. I mean, look, that is a guy. It's the same thing. Like, you know, so I don't know. I guess I equate golf to baseball a lot, right? But, like, you'll see, like, a 5-tool, like, baseball player, and you're like, man, this dude should be way better than he is. But he dogs a fly ball, or he doesn't run hard to first base and things like that. You just see these little things in him where you're like, nope, he's not that guy. And Xander is not that guy. He's not. And I am fucking right. Like, I'm right. Like I don't care. Like, I am right. There is nobody can argue that I'm not right. He has not shown up. He always comes up a little bit, and then what does he do? He throws his limp dick on the table and says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be here, and fucking walks away. Like, no, he's not right.
All right, I never want to see a book hang a 15-1 number on him again. Unless
God. Unless they're really impossible to bet. Impossible. Unless he's playing in fucking Puerto Rico.
All right, that's a little strong.
No, but... it is. No, I'm correct. That guy can't win. Can't win.
I still have faith in him that he can come through eventually.
Yeah, okay.
But we're going to do some soul searching, I think. That was pretty jarring what I saw today.
Yeah,
he had it with – he had to shoot – if he shoots 67, he wins today. And he had it out there for him, and he shot himself in the foot.
He's lucky he didn't fucking triple when he couldn't get out of that goddamn bunker.
Yeah, I know. I get it. The stretch from 3 to 5 was some of the worst golf I've ever seen. It was awful. I mean, the terrible drive on 5, and then he'd chip out, terrible, terrible approach shot into the bunker, dumps it again in the bunker. And then
even some of his other stuff, dude. Like he wanted to drive instead of lay back. He left himself too short of a pitch on 1. Like,
really,
man, what do you do?
Really questionable decisions today.
Yeah, like what are you doing? Really, like, you can give yourself a 50-yard pitch. Like, yeah, you have a bunch of green to work with, but come on, man. Like, dude, lay up and give yourself a nice number in, and give you know what I mean? Like, dude, like I don't know.
And then it culminated on 16 when he clearly picked the wrong club.
Oh yeah. Clearly. Andy yanked it left. It's not even the wrong club. He yanked it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So how did we do betting? Let's go with that. And any lessons learned. So do you want to go first, or like what's some of your best calls you made? You know, like pre-tournament, during the tournament. You know, I know you went on the podcast on Friday. You said to bet Leishman. I mean, that
whatever.
It was 22-1, you know. Your matchups were good.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, good matchups, yeah.
Matchups were great. Harmon, top lefty, top bulldog. That was good. I had Connor's top 10. That was fun today.
He almost.
Was that fun today?
Yeah. Yeah, he made that interesting for you.
Yeah, it was real fun. Thanks, Corey. Thanks for the fucking 6 months off my life. I don't know, man. Like, I made so many fucking live bets today, and I fired so much shit yesterday. Like, I don't even fucking know. Like, dude, I mean, whatever. Like, I feel like my pre-tournament calls were whatever. They were fine. I don't know. Fucking hit the ass. Past champ was wrong. Top Australian was Leishman, so that worked too. That was good. That was-
you're pretty good at Pat. You're 2 for 2 in top Australian. That's pretty good. That's because of our friends in Australia that we always talk to. Maybe it's
that and their Irishmen. That's all they are. Yeah, there's Irishmen on a different continent. That's all they are. The top Asian did not work out. Thank you. No, it's a dot. The Siwu putting with a goddamn 5-wood. Oh, you beautiful bastard. I love him so much.
We'll talk about him in the DFS report card.
But I love him. I love him so much. Listen, if I didn't live bet my fucking face off between yesterday and today, like, I would have been perfectly fine. I would have been up and perfectly comfortable because of the matchups and everything else. I just get fucking greedy, man. I get so... Dude, I was laying $50 a piece on those fucking 12,050 props, whatever the fuck they were, for
Jesus,
those. Yeah, but whatever. Yeah, but who cares? So what? So what? I lost whatever $400, right? But if I had hit one of them, right,
I would have been
like fucking. You know what I'm saying?
How many do you like 10 grand? How many do like $5 next time?
But that's not. I mean, it is fun, but it's not fun. It's $625 versus fucking like $7,000.
You're literally betting. Is a guy going to get a hole in one? Something that happens like once every like 1,000, like. Tries.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right. Yep. Okay. All right. So I did pretty well with matchups too. I apologize to the readers of the Sports Gambling Podcast because I'm on a work count. I can only get 3 matchups and I went 1 for 2 on those. So that's not great.
Well, but that's why they need to come to the Slack channel.
But if you listen to the podcast, you hit a bunch of winners. I had Matt Wallace or Mackenzie Hughes, Matt Jones or Zach Johnson. Took Fitzpatrick over Sungjae, who we're going to talk about later. I cannot wait to talk about Sungjae. That's great. Fitzpatrick over Tommy Fleetwood. That was great. Fading Bryson on matchups, that worked out excellent. I also faded Rory in a couple of matchups. That worked out really, really well. You know, went 5-3 in tournament plays. But what I'm really proud of, again, I'm touting. That's fine.
Tout, baby. Tout.
Wing score. I got on this podcast. I said, there is a middle opportunity where there's some books, they set it a little bit too low. Then some books set it a little too high. I said, I think the wing score is between minus 10 and minus 12. And you know what it was? Minus 10. So I cashed that middle. Pretty
middling,
good right there.
Middle is really not the best feeling in gambling.
That was it was so great. Well, well, I thought it was dead, and then Hideki hit in the water. I was the only one happy at that point. Because, I mean, everybody is like, all right, well, I mean, I didn't realize that Xander was actually now back in this tournament. But I was more like, oh my God, I'm going to middle this fucking thing. That was good. Nailing the cut line, that was great. I think only 20 guys finished under par.
Yep.
Cash that too. Oh, the Bryson bogeys are worse prop. That was so great. It was so great to rub.
And the running ticker in Slack was very fun.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That was really good. Oh.
I did enjoy it. And listen, I know you were mad at me for betting it, but I know you weren't really mad, but like, dude, 28th one, I was fucking, he has fucking 25 bucks on it.
Like, I just laughed. Oh, that's cute. He's going to pull up like a 77 today. And that's what he did.
he did too.
I mean, the only ones that didn't hit, I mean, Bernhard Langer actually got me really excited on Thursday. And then
Kramer is not happy with you. Did you listen to the Friday show?
I didn't, but you know what?
This dude, Kramer threw like fucking, I think like $250 or $300.
Hey, listen, he was leading after day one. All right. I'm sorry. A 63-year-old golfer couldn't do it 2 days in a row. Okay. And then the whole one, you know what? That's too bad. I mean, guys are having trouble getting up on top of the ridge and funnel it down. I think only a handful of guys managed to do it.
Yeah.
We had a couple close. I mean, Leishman right at the end. That was really close. Whatever. That was a fun one to bet. It lost. You know, I'm going to bet hole in one again next year. It's fine.
Yep. And then I a couple. I'm going to take the losses from this year. I'm going to factor those into my bets next year. So I make sure I make up for the losses this year. So I'm doubling down next year.
Just compounding problems. So there you go. Then I hit
compounding problems of taking advantage of situations.
Yeah. And then I hit a couple tops in the top 20s wrap the week. So you know what? Made up for all the lost outrights, you know, and then we'll go from there. All right. DFS report card. So $10,000 range. Most popular player. Can you take a guess?
What?
You take a guess who most popular player in $10,000 range was this week?
Fuck. I don't even remember, bro.
All right. Fine. Justin Thomas, 26%.
Fine. I had a couple great lineups. I actually did good in DFS this week.
Yeah, I did all right too. I mean, mostly because of Will's out horse. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I didn't even have any Will, and my highest score was 428.
There you go. I think it was like 420. Huh. So yeah,
I beat Bagels in his own tournament.
So yeah, I saw you try and taunt him.
I did. He hasn't responded yet.
He's not going to respond.
And I texted him, hey, you want to come on the Friday show or whatever, do a little breakdown for the weekend? And he thought I was asking him to call on the Cut Sweat show again because you couldn't do it. And he told me before he couldn't do the Cut Sweat show, right? He's going to get too spazzed out. And I was like, all right, that's fine. So I texted him. I was like, hey, man. I was like, hey, we're going to do a preview show. Nothing. And he's like, man, you asked me already. And I was like, yeah, dude, I told you. This one wasn't a sweat show. Like, this is just a preview show. And then he found out it was Sean and Ryan. He was like, what the hell, man? Why did you tell me it was them? And I was like, oh, well, listen.
I think he was in the bunker. Because you know what? Listen, he made a great call on Hideki. Props to him. I know it didn't work out for his boy Xander. And that's probably going to sting a little bit. But he needs – if I have advice for Nagel's Bagels this week, I did not hear anybody else on Hideki this week. He needs a – boat, he needs to tap that one. Yeah,
absolutely.
That was a great call. And he also needs to know that who on the show supported him on that pick and who didn't. So, yeah.
Yeah, listen, remember once that. Again, Scott Tissue, motherfucker. Scott Tissue. That shit is
all right,
real.
All right. Back to $10,000 range. So,
God damn.
Justin Thomas on Saturday. And you know what? I'm going to give us props. We have this dude pegged.
Yeah, we really do.
2AT. So here's what happened to JT. Thursday was not very good. It was pretty windy conditions, firm conditions, just struggled. Friday, dead calm. What'd he do? Oh, he was awesome. Right?
Birdie.
Saturday, we get to Saturday. Kind of doing all right. You know, putter's not really working, but he's hanging in there. And then it rains. and the course changes on him. Oh, what do we do? Yeah, can't read the greens anymore, make some bad decisions, and he was awful. Implosion on 13.
13. Oh, my God.
God, that was really
bad. What a nightmare. That hurt me.
So, you know what? I feel really good about our read about Justin Thomas going forward. Yep. I think we just need to look at the weather report with him.
I think I've coined it Peyton Manning of golfers.
I would agree. That's good. So, I mean, listen, he finished 17th in DraftKings scoring, 26% ownership. I mean, definitely did not pay back the price on him, but whatever. I mean, there's worse things that can happen. I mean,
you could have paid for DJ.
Yeah, you could have paid for DJ. He was really bad. I mean, what's funny is everybody was saying Rory was, you should go to him because he's a low option. But we actually got on the show and said you should actually go Xander, and that was a good call. Mm-hmm. So, Bryson. All right, let's first of all.
Wait, time out. Did you see what I put? See what I put in the Slack with that one guy? I won't even say his name because I didn't realize he was he makes calls for a network or something like that. But now he's turned into some podcast where I was like, I called him a clown show. I won't say his name because I don't know. Maybe
I might have missed that.
All right, we'll talk offline. Either way, this is some guy who's all of a sudden thinks he can call all these golfers and shit. And he was like, only heard here, fade Bryson. No one else was talking about it. And I was like, yeah, fuck right. You. What are you talking about?
Big short of.
Andy's got this stupid fucking hashtag. You didn't see it?
No, I don't think I did see it.
Nice.
Well, you know what? Maybe he stole the take from the Golf Gambling Podcast. Maybe he's a fan because that was my big short of the
week. He works for one of the big networks.
All right. Well, Bryson was horrendous here. And that is now two tournaments in a row where we have polar opposite conditions. You had firm and fast this time. You had soft conditions. And he was an absolute nightmare. The greens reading book is totally real. He looks completely befuddled out there. Yeah. And the bomb and gouge approach to Augusta National does not work.
It does not work. Nope.
If you're constantly out of position, you cannot get to certain pins. You're done. You're done here. So he needs to go back to the workshop. He needs to figure things out. If he thinks he can come to to Augusta and just think he's going to overpower it, he's going to get his ass kicked, and we're going to continue to make money fading him. So, yep. I mean, other than that, I mean.
My boy who didn't bet golf ever, the guy who actually went out to dinner with tonight, and so I got him on a PGA 2K. He's been listening to the podcast, by the way, for forever long. And he's like, all right, fine, just tell me who to bet. And I was like, here we go. Just fade a bunch of Bryson this weekend. It's that easy, right? And he's like, you sure? I'm like, I'm sure. bet him. And we happened to tell you, he's like, yeah.
There you go.
Big boy. Let's go.
Not another fan for the Golf Game Podcast there. All right. So are you concerned about DJ at all? I'm not.
No, I don't think so.
He hasn't been playing great, but you know what?
I just want to see that SPAC from him, man. I don't really know. I am a little worried. Not crazy worried, but here's a problem. I'm not worried because I'm not going to bet him at the numbers these books are going to hang him at anyway. I hope he comes out on a bad Thursday or does a plus one, plus two, minus two, and he's four or five shots behind and then I can get him a good number. The way these guys are hanging the numbers, I'm not betting him outright. I'm just not. It's too short.
Yeah, I had $0 and 0 cents on DJ this week. And that was when we were on the betting show. We're like, name a golfer that you kind of have regrets. I'm like, yeah, I don't have anything on DJ, good or bad.
Yeah.
I just didn't know what to do with it. And
it's too short. It's too short.
Yeah, so you know, hopefully the price starts coming down. He does this too. He did this last year. Remember he had
fucking 80-80, remember?
Yeah. He had three straight in the 80s. And then he just turned around. So Rory's untouchable, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had a cold shank on 10 on.
Yeah, he's broke, bro.
He was not having fun.
No, he looks miserable, playing miserable. I just kind of want to give him a hug.
Yeah, that's nothing. I think he's probably going to get a little bit of steam because he won a Kia.
He gets steam every time. He got steam this week.
Okay, well, he's got two golf courses coming up that are Rory courses. He got Quail Hollow and he got Kiowa. And I think he's going to get a little steam, and that might be an opportunity to fade him because that dude is not in a good place right now.
Fade.
All right, let's move down to the 9,000-hour range. We were right. Speed, 31% ownership.
Oh.
And you know what? Paid off everybody.
It was
chalk there. I mean, he was – listen, like, He shot himself in the foot a little bit. He didn't putt all that great.
He had triple on seven on Friday.
That's true. But
if he didn't have the triple, let's just say he even had a bogey. Yeah. What's that put him at? And how does that change the tournament? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it gets the patrons fired up a little bit. He's got that little bit of energy too. But yeah, listen, he was great. I don't think we need to, you know, do anything to that. Gonna congratulate myself. I shocked you guys by fading Patrick Cantlay call of the weekend.
Yes.
He used Uber chalk. I had an inkling that this was gonna be stinky chalk, and he was.
Yeah.
He was bad.
You must be super excited as a European Ryder Cup fan that Xander and Cantlay are going to be playing for this fucking team going against the Europeans. You must be super stoked as the European.
I am, especially because Henrik Stenson actually showed well this week. That we'll get to.
Jesus Christ.
I know. I mean, other than that, though, this is a pretty solid range. I mean, Webb was serviceable. Finau was serviceable. Patrick was serviceable. All of them finished top 15 in scoring. Even Morikawa,
Reed today, he shot like 40, shoot fucking 5 under.
Yeah, I know. Hey, listen, he got top 10 for me. I was happy about that. So, I mean, even Morikawa, I was a little disappointed in him because.
Yeah, absolutely.
He hit the ball all right. He didn't putt well. I mean, it's kind of the same story with him. I don't know. Maybe he got a couple of Masters under his belt. He seems like the type of guy who should do well there, but whatever. Yeah. Brooks, though, I don't want to see him again for 8 months. I he's not healthy. And if this is the product he's going to give us, and like if he just wants to go to a golf course and start dunking on people on social media, like if this is Brooks we're getting from him, I don't really want any part of it. I want a guy who's going to show up and is going to be the killer. Like when they showed the highlights of 2019, Brooks, like that's a long time ago now. And get healthy, stay off the golf course, stay off social media, maybe take a page out of my book.
All right, old man. All right, listen. He wasn't trying to dunk on people on social media.
He but at the same point,
listen, man, what are you supposed to do when you go into a golf course, right? You built yourself up to play this spot. You're going to be like, I don't think I'm going to win. No, man, you got to go. That's why Brooks is Brooks. He thinks he's going to go in and win. He's like, I am. Listen, I don't care about my knee. My mentality will be able to get it through that. My skills are going to get through it. That's what he was thinking, right? That is exactly what he was thinking. Like, listen, my knee's fine. Like, it's a little bulky. I'll be able to get through it, and I'm still better than these bums out on the course. And I love that mentality. I fucking love it. I do. This, even though he missed the cut, like –
he was awful. He was awful from the jump.
Okay, but listen, the mentality is what I like. The mentality.
Okay, you know what I don't like mentality? I don't like him posting Michael Jordan memes. All right, I don't like him posting. Cares. I don't like him posting Power Rangers stuff.
Who's older, me or you? For God's sake,
I don't care. You know what? That's not the Brooks I know. You are a killer. Go out and kill. Stay off social media. Focus on your game. Focus on your knee, and fucking kill these assholes. All right. That's why I want you to get back to. I don't like this little.
I don't correlate the two.
I don't like this me attitude that he's got going right now.
First of all, every golfer is me. It's not a fucking team sport.
Okay, well, the me look at me attitude. How about that?
That's fine. And I don't even feel like that was that. Like, listen, I feel like his social media team is good, dude. Everybody was talking about him, right?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I'm glad he got so much buzz on social media for the tournament, and he was +5 and just completely irrelevant the whole time.
All right, let me give you.
Let's move on. All right, $8,000 range. Most popular play in this range was, take a guess.
Dude, I don't even have it in front of me.
All right, it's Daniel Berger. He was awful.
Oh, was Berger the most?
Yeah, 18%. He was awful. I mean, this is kind of hit or miss. I mean, he had Cam Smith, who was 17%. He was 12th, and then Fitzpatrick. Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't that great. Hoblin was.
That's all I get shit about.
Hoblin was actually 9th in scoring, and
was he really?
Yeah, because he had birdies, and eagles, and triples, and he was exactly what you said. He's a perfect DFS. Yeah, he's great.
Now I feel less bad about telling either Ryan or Sean. No, you need to play Hoblin instead of Bulls out Thor. So 8th to 2nd, it's not so bad. It's only
yeah,
6
you
spots.
Did. Yeah, it was fine. I mean, technically, you could play both. So there you go. Can I take a victory lap about Sungjae? Finally, this dude, this fraud has been exposed. God, that was great. Hey, you know what? That little lean that you gave it like 1 in the morning. God, first of all, that took about 5 minutes to debunk. than that. I mean, let's give it a pro tip. When somebody gives a little gambling lean of like
at 1 in the morning. And first of all, at one in the morning.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the guy who did it.
Oh.
If someone gives a gambling lean with 8 specific rules and then you change a rule in the middle of it in order to fit your narrative, maybe you should stop reading the article then. It was utterly ridiculous, this thing. It was the most galaxy brain gambling lean I've ever seen. And it came to the conclusion that Sung J-M was going to win this tournament. And you know what he did? What, he shoot like 80 on Thursday? He's terrible. God, that was so great. That dude is a fraud right now.
I know. You hurt me in Munoz's feelings, though. That was very not nice.
Well, you know
Listen, man, you have a few gin and tonics on a Thursday. You're getting ready for Masters. You just got done doing a bazillion fucking podcasts and hits. And I had some live streams with some people who I didn't know. They were like kids in a basement. I had no idea what was going on. And like, listen, I was like, oh, I needed stress. And I'm like scrolling through Twitter. I'm like, what? What is this guy talking about? Oh. Well, that sounds plausible. Here's $25 of my money. Throw it down. Like, that's not like a bet on me heavy. But might as well throw it on just in case.
You know what? Fix your irons, fix your scrambling, then maybe I'll start continuing Sungjae, all right?
Fix his fucking mentality. Like, good God. Like, he makes just bad decisions.
Yeah.
Right?
He really does. Like, there's a reason why we call him Knucklehead. Yeah. He was an absolute knucklehead on Thursday, and then he continued on Friday. And you know what? There you go. All right, so let's go to the 7,000-hour range. I mean, honestly, there's not really a whole lot to report here. I mean, obviously, we talk about Will Zalatoris. I was pretty high in Sergio coming into the tournament. He was terrible. I mean, one thing that I need to remember going forward, he's been awful in majors. We just need to blind miscut, like, prop, you know, bet him.
I actually did have Sergio for a miscut.
Oh, you did? Nice.
I did.
You got to tell everybody then, you know? So everybody followed
that. Wait, I put it out on my miscut. It was him and Justin Rose. One worked out, one did not.
There you go. So Justin Rose, I mean, we knew nothing about him coming into Bay Hill or into this tournament. I mean, last we saw him, he had the back injury. And we didn't see him for like a month. And I mean, listen, we need like an Adam Schefter to kind of like tell us like how he's feeling. Apparently, I think he got back with Sean Foley, his old swing coach. That was news to me. He put some older clubs in the bag, like on Golf WRX. You can see like what clubs like he's using, and like he's using. I noticed he's using a lot of TaylorMades from 2017. Oh. So he is turning the clock back to like when he was like number one in the world and doing good. So
got rid of the $90,000 set of irons.
Yeah, the Hanma stuff. Yeah. I mean, he's not even using the Sim Max, which, you know, or the Sim 2s, which apparently are garbage. So,
hey, man, be nice. I got those are my irons.
Oh, well, I mean, the driver, I mean. So there you go. But, he was, you know, thank you for the ruining all our first round leader bets.
God. Like, seriously, how bad was that? Like, he went on, like, we should have been able to appreciate what he did on that back nine. It was basically what Hideki did on Saturday, right? Like, they just went unconscious on the back nine. We're like, all right, it's still in play. If he doesn't birdie this, it's fine. Okay, he birdied that one. Maybe there'll be a problem. Oh, shit, he birdied that one. Oh, God, forget it. We're done.
I know. I mean, the dumb thing about that was it was about a shot harder in the afternoon than it was in the morning. So,
I mean,
loaded up on morning, guys, actually was the play. And just the same thing happened in 2017 when Charlie Hoffman just went out there and shot a stupid round in my stuff. It's an outlier. It happens, and it is what it is. We'll shake it off. I mean, other than that, our poor boy Matthew Wolf got DQ'd.
Oh, my God. Wait, would he have made the cut? He wouldn't have made the cut, right?
No, he didn't. If people would call him cheater, I think he just is a knucklehead, just like Sungjae. And I don't know. He's got to get his head right. He's a good player, and
I feel like maybe we should reach out to his peoples. Let's see if he can come on here and we can try to boost him up and give him
I don't think that would play out too well. So
why not?
I don't know. I don't know.
We're positive around here.
Yeah, we are. I mean, we'd probably have to scrub some takes about him, you know, that I've made. But all right, so under $7,000. So this
chalk
is where
it.
This
chalk it.
Was awesome.
Chalk Connor. It.
Connor's chalk, Ryan Palmer chalk, although he did his best to try and gag that away.
Oh,
Jason Kokrak was chalk. That didn't really play out too well. No. Brian Harman was good, though.
Yep.
I want to talk about your boy, Siwoo Kim, though.
Mm-hmm.
God, that was entertaining on Friday.
My God. This is the Wayne's World. It's for all you youngins. It's a movie from back in the day where you were not worthy.
Like, seriously, how awesome was that? He didn't even mean to break his putter. Like, I get it. Like, Bo Jackson did. He didn't even mean to, and he still – he almost birdied two of the holes with a 5-wood, bro.
Yeah, he actually got mad he didn't hit his putt on 18.
I know! How awesome was that? He was mad that he didn't putt it in with his fucking 5-wood.
Yeah, that was really good. So you will not ever
never
listen to the Golf Gambling Podcast again without Boston Capper betting him outright.
Nope, that's it. So just – I don't even know if I have to talk about it anymore. I'll bring it up for any new people who come on. But listen, every single tournament from here on out, I'm betting Siwoo.
I mean, he's a made man for you. Like,
that's it. He's not a made man. He's a capo, right? He runs his own crew. Okay.
There you go. I if Matt Kuchar ever listens to podcasts, or probably not, because he probably is too cheap to gamble. So I would like. The next time we all start jumping on you, can you please, please let us know that you're going to change your putter and change your putting technique the week of the Masters?
What was that?
What the hell was that? I don't know. Gross. I mean, listen, like, there's no strokes. Part of the problem with the Masters is that there's no strokes gain data. All it is just, like, putts per hole and, like, driving distance. Like, it's unless you look at every single shot. Which I don't really feel inclined to do with Matt Kuchar. But that's a big deal. If I learn that on Monday, yeah, I'm probably not betting him.
No, right. Definitely not. And then he's out of my DraftKings lineup. He was the only turn in my punch bowl.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden on
that
Thursday.
That score I told you was with Kuchar in it.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden on Thursday, I'm listening to like a whole like 4 for 6, and they're like, oh, he changed putters and like, you know, technique. And then like a Golf WRX article came out like that Thursday. I'm like, where the hell was that on Monday? I would not have played Kuchar at all. And I don't even care if the putter like really cost him. That's enough for me to get off him. And
right, he's terrible exactly.
On Thursday. Yeah. By the way, why are you arm locking with your right arm? Like, it doesn't make any sense. It make any sense for him.
Oh, that is.
Yeah. Weird. Yeah. For me, it's fine because I'm a lefty. You want to arm lock it to your front arm. He's arm locking with his trail arm.
I just did that. That's very weird. I was like, wait, why is that weird? I was like, wait, no, that's yeah. Ooh, that is weird.
Yeah, that's what he's doing now. And then he changed the putter. It's just not great. Let's move on. I mean, the only guy really, like, I mean, Mark Leishman, we talked about him. Level jumper.
No.
I only had a top 20 on him. I should have been heavier on that. I mean, I lied bet him on Saturday, but.
This is my impassioned plea.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you convinced me a little bit of that. Other than that, you know what? Listen, Robert McIntyre, very impressive today.
He looked good.
I disparage lefties, even though I am a lefty.
So weird.
They play pretty well. Maybe that's probably a bad take I had. And that's it. You got anything else for the Masters, or do you want to move on to the Heritage?
Let's just go to the Heritage, man. Listen, a lot of fun this week, obviously. We did a ton of content. I feel like, for the most part, we were on the right side. Obviously, I'm like sad sack today, but... listen, if it wasn't for the live bed, I'd be sitting with Steve, man, like sitting nice and fat. You know what I mean? Like, and I had a great time doing it anyway. Listen, this is what it's about. Gamble. Listen, you only bet what you can afford, right? So,
yeah. Listen, I
haven't done a single literal.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, let's have real talk about golf. The only way to really make consistent money
is just bet
matchups. The fun stuff is what Boston Capper bet on all weekend. And honestly,
this golf is our gambling, Super Bowl, man.
Golf gambling is supposed to be fun. It's the Masters. All the odds are junk because everybody bets them. And like, even with the matchups, we were talking about that offline where like it's kind of like where you'll catch books napping on like lower conference college football or like basketball. So that's like when we're betting like the Valero or the Honda, like the books aren't sophisticated, but for the Masters, like I would imagine, I'm like, well, you know, that line makes sense. Oh yeah. That matchup makes sense. So it's hard. And it's like, I mean, we're going to move on to the RBC Heritage where things are going to be a little more soft. Books probably going to be napping a little bit. So, you know, if you lost a little bit of the Masters, you can get it back this week. Cause it's a very simple formula, what to do well at Harbortown.
Listen, I agree. Listen, as you're looking to catch a book napping, you probably won't catch it at WynnBET. But listen, if you're going to bet, WynnBET is bringing you the action.
of the real sports book betting at Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promotions, odds, parlays are happening right now. WynnBET. So get started today and you'll receive a special offer of up to $500 risk-free sports bet. Terms and conditions do apply, so get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today. And listen, you want to see who your boy is picking? This week at Heritage, you got to download Better Than Vegas. It's like YouTube for sports betting. What DGens only care about? Sports betting. So we give out our free daily video picks on our profile page. So Better Than Vegas is always running a ton of free contests as well. They got a ton of free picks and handicappers to check out. Be sure to subscribe to our profile page so you don't miss a pick. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. All right.
All right, let's talk about the Heritage. So the guys in the field this week, it's actually a pretty good field.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Which is surprising. I mean, like a lot of guys are sponsored by RBC now. So they bring out all those guys.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah, they're obligated. Like they play the Canadian Open, which doesn't happen this year
because... Because they got moved. Wait, that could move to Mexico?
What, the Canadian Open this year?
Yeah, they got moved to Mexico, California.
No, it got moved to some golf course in South Carolina, we'll talk about next month, actually. So anyway, Webb Simpson's in the field. He's the defending champ. He won that June tournament. We'll talk about the differences between the June and the April one. There's some key differences because he won kind of a birdie fest. This one's going to play a little different. He's in the field. But... I mean, Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, two guys who you probably wouldn't think are good fits for Harbortown. They're in the field. DJ, I think he had the 54-hole lead in 2019 and then just melted out on Sunday.
Absolutely did. Because yep. I bet him that week.
There you go. I mean, he never really has a good history here. I think he missed the cut. I'm not even sure. Yeah, you know what? I think he finished like top 20 last year. He wasn't too great. He's never done well here. Bryson, actually, he's done well both pre and post Bokup, which does not make any sense to me.
Listen, can we just call it pre and post steroids? Can we do that legally?
I mean, I wouldn't.
With, do that. If I do air quotes,
pre and post enhancements.
Fine.
How about that's That's more ambiguous.
I mean, I feel like it's like, remember when McGuire had like the Androstein shit, like in his locker, like, oh, it's Androstein. And all of us were like, I can hit the ball a bazillion miles with Androstein. Mm. And none of us could hit the ball as far as McGuire did because we were taking Androstein and he was taking something else.
Are you admitting you took Andro in the podcast?
Fuck yes. Yes. Wow. Yes, of course I did.
Okay. All right, then. Other nobles in the field, we got Daniel Berger, Patrick Cantlay, who I just assassinated earlier, Tommy Fleetwood, Sergio, Morikawa's in the field, Zalatoris in the field. There's a lot of good names. I think all the British guys are here, too.
So. Do you think they're all going to stay?
I think so. I mean, a lot of these guys are RBC guys, and I mean, it's Harbortown's a very laid-back tournament. It's not that stressful, and... Yeah, I mean, it's a good event. And then, I mean, there's not a whole lot of good tournaments between now and the PGA. Bro, you got to get your reps in.
Hey, you're not helping.
What do you mean? With
the downloads.
It doesn't matter. All right, there's not a whole lot of good tournaments for them.
Oh, for them. For us.
Yeah, but for gamblers, yes. Yeah, every tournament's important. This tournament's just as important as the Masters. Don't let me, fool you on that. So what about Harbortown? So this is a public golf course. It's a Pete Dye and Jack Nicklaus collaboration. Why are you cheering?
I love Harbortown.
Do you love Harbortown? All right. So why don't I stop them?
No, absolutely not. You go. Nope.
All right, fine. So, I mean, for an amateur, this is a pretty good course to play. It's definitely on the bucket list of a lot of amateurs. And I mean, it's not very long. The bunkers are relatively shallow. It's a fun little golf course. I mean, the greens are really small though. That's the big key with this thing. They're some of the smallest on the PGA Tour. And around this time, it can be really fast Bermuda greens. So yeah, it can be a little tricky, but I mean, the biggest thing about this golf course is there are trees everywhere. It is so tight, like tree lined, like narrow sight lines. And honestly, like, I mean, if you have a big slice here, like you and me, we would not do well here. So I know you would say that you want to play this place. You probably would lose like three dozen golf balls in the woods. So, I mean, honestly though, looking at this golf course, it's...
I fixed my slice, Steve. Thank you.
Oh, you did? Okay. I actually did, too. So maybe we'll have a rematch down the road.
What I realized was I just wasn't actually following through.
Okay, that's important.
Yeah, I'd always, because I have that, I have that little short round backswing, and I would, almost stop at, whatever, it's 11:45, but now I'm pulling all the way through and the ball just goes where I want it to. It's nice.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah. Very last two rounds have been really nice. And I'm like, this won't last. So I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, we're gonna get that regression we thought ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right. I mean, Pete Dye has a really good portfolio golf course. This isn't my favorite. I mean, I think it's because there's a lot of Jack Nicklaus in this place, instead of Pete Dye.
Why do you hate Jack?
Some of his older
every golf time we talk about his golf courses,
I think some of Jack Nicklaus, he has good intentions, but at the end of the day, just where we put some of the bunkers and where some of the water hazards are, it's not that great. Now, I think new Jack Nicklaus, some of his the concession,
New Jack City,
the concession that was built in 2004, that's a Jack Nicklaus. I think that's much better than say
that needs to be, we've already said it, that needs to be in rotation. Every year, it has to be.
It is. But, I mean, so back to Harbortown. The last three holes are pretty good. So 16 is a long par. It's a par four. You know, it has that elongated bunkers it's got coffin bunkers down the left. It's got a tree right in the middle of the fairway, too, which is great because it's just Pete Dye raising his middle finger from the grave. And the course opens up, too. It doesn't feel quite as claustrophobic. 17 is probably my favorite hole in the golf course. That's a par three over the marsh. It's got a large bunker in front with the railroad ties. It's below the green. There's a coffin bunker to the right that is basically, if you're in there and the pin's on the right, you're basically dead. 18 is you got two forced carries over marshes. You got the lighthouse in the back. So that's a really good closing stretch of holes. 9 is a good hole too. It's a drivable par four with a horseshoe bunker and a large bunker in front. It's fun to see guys try and drive the green or make decisions there. But from a television perspective, though, it's kind of a snoozer. Yeah. I mean, every hole from 1 to 15 looks exactly the same. If you flash to a guy and you don't tell me what hole he is, I probably don't know where he is. Because everything is tree lined. Everything has it's small greens, bunkers in front.
You say that, but you're tracking them on Shot Tracker.
I'm telling you, I'm just saying, if I'm on TV,
TV, okay.
And they don't tell me what hole is, I don't know where they are. So it can be kind of repetitive as a viewer. But I mean, listen, overall, it's you don't see a lot of golf courses like this. You know, most of them are just Parkland and classic golf course. This is different. It's Harbortown. It's a laid back term. It's a good field, and especially for gambling, it's nice. I mean, there's definitely, as we'll talk about in a little bit, there is a very defined criteria already that you want to focus on, which kind of makes this tournament pretty easy to bet on every year.
All right. Well, listen, before we get to the end of the podcast and give it away, the lean on what type of golfers we're looking at. Listen, so PicksWise.com, they're helmed by a team of trend-watching, data-devouring sports fanatic wise guys, giving you the who, how, and why behind every prediction on every game, every day. Every sport, all for free. So NBA, MLB, NHL, whatever the sport, they got you covered with free analysis and, more importantly, free picks, just like here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. So plus they have all the betting news. You need an expert, best bets. Head over to PicksWise.com for all the free picks you need. That's PicksWise.com. All right. What leads you got? Let's go. Let's wrap this up.
All right. I mean, this is positional golf at its finest. I mean, you do not hit the head driver at Harbortown. Everything is less than driver. And I mean, I part of the reason why this isn't my favorite Pete Dye golf course is because you kind of have to, at Sawgrass, let's take that. You got to shake the ball both ways. Off the tee, sometimes it'll be a fade, then you got to hit a draw. Everything at Harbortown, you basically just have to hit it dead straight. and if you don't, you're going to get blocked up by trees and overhanging branches. You're really handcuffed here. It's kind of a wonder. I think Bryson just plays this place to stroke his ego. I think maybe winning this would be bigger for him than winning another tournament, just because I can less than driver golf course and I can overpower. I can prove that my way is better. And I don't know. We'll see. But if you look at guys who generally play well there, it's really accurate players. Distance not as prerequisite. You got to be pretty good with your irons, decent scramblers, especially because the greens are really, really small. You're going to scramble a lot from off the green, especially with good bunker play. So, you know, target your premium ball strikers, like short knockers, guys who play positional golf, precision, you know, guys have pretty good short games and putting. You know, that tends to work pretty well. Like, if you look at some of the guys who do really well there, funny enough, Patrick Cantlay actually has the highest strokes game per round, you know, of minimum 10 rounds. He's actually been very good there. And he's a very consistent golfer, though. He does a lot of things very well. He's a good short game, good putter. He doesn't get in trouble off the tee a lot. And then we get to, like, you know, Luke Donald, Matt Kuchar, Webb Simpson. Brandon Grace won here back in 2016. Like, Russell Knox, CT Pan. Terrell Hatton's pretty good here. Your spirit animal. Like,
is man. Kevin. Well, we'll talk about that on the next one, yeah.
Yeah, Kevin, Andrew Lange. Like, guys like that. So, there's going to be plenty short-knocking, accurate players who definitely don't get by with their distance, but they get by with, like, good wedge play. And, like, that's really important, too. You know, focus on those guys. And I think the last thing I want to leave you is that you're probably going to be tempted to look back at the June tournament last year after the COVID restart. It's important to put that tournament in context, kind of like what we did for the Masters, where it played a lot different in November, and then we saw it. You just saw it this weekend. It played night and day different.
Yep.
And in April around Harbortown, it's a lot more firm. It's windier. Doesn't rain a whole lot. That June tournament, it was muggy. It was humid. It yeah. rained. The golf course is really soft. It played a lot like Wyndham, to be honest, which is probably why Webb won.
Oh, that's a great that's a great comp.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what the June tournament was.
That's what I mean.
In April, it's going to play more like Wailea. It's going to play more like maybe like a pebble, like a baked out pebble. It's going to play more like Sea Island. Because, like, in the fall, and Sea Island doesn't play quite as, like, you know, hot and sticky. So focus on that. Like, and the winning score in the last 10 years before last year, it only got past minus 13 twice. Okay. And, like, if the winds are up this week, it's going to be more of a grind. It's not going to be really a birdie fest. So, yeah, like, precise ball strikers, good wedge players, good scramblers. That's probably what's going to get it done this year.
Love it. Love it. All right, man. So I guess that's it, huh?
Yeah. Listen, we spent a lot of time in the Masters, and there really isn't a whole lot to discuss about Harbortown because it's pretty, the formula is pretty consistent. Like, don't overthink this one, guys. Like,
yeah, listen, like, we'll break it down with the DFS. That's it. Yeah, we'll break it down for them.
Absolutely. We had a chance to digest the Masters, and we'll go and look at the betting.
Odds aren't even out yet. I feel a little better. It's off my chest.
There you go.
It's a bad Sunday. Good week, though. Man, listen, good week. Great week. It's Masters week, man. Look, we had fun. And it was a real Masters, right? Like, it wasn't minus 20. It was a grind. Every shot was like, ooh, boy. Like, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, Augusta always plays better when it's firm and fast. So hopefully we get that again next year.
Oh, we will. We will. Yeah. All right. So listen, Cup, once again, you follow me on Twitter, you're not going to get much, right? I scroll around, and by the time I'm done smoking my cigarette, I forget to post anything. So come to the Slack channel. That's where we spend all our time. Literally, that's where I spend a lot of my time. And Steve drops the nuggets in there. And listen, man, we'll drop the knowledge. We get those matchups out, whatever we need to give out throughout the weekend for the tournament. So yeah, man, listen, come follow us on that. We got the Heritage coming up for Tuesday. We doing Tuesday?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we usually do Tuesday show. We'll have DFS show, have our betting card. We'll have a chance to digest everything and, you know, come off the hangover of the Masters to give you great picks for the Heritage.
Let's make even more money. So listen, hope you guys broke those books this weekend, and we'll break them again this week. Let's go.